When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
My brand new book, Midwife Pip's Guide to a Positive Birth, is now available. So much more than a book, this is a guide that allows me to hold your hand through your birth preparation journey. With over a decade of experience and knowledge packed in to ensure you really are empowered in the way you deserve to achieve a positive birth, regardless of the twists and turns that crop up. Make sure that you get your hands on Midwife Pip's Guide to a Positive Birth book now and are empowered to have the birth experience that you deserve. Life is just getting some sort of balance, and then your toddler decides to whip their nappy off and the conversation focus reverts back to the newborn days of poo. Potty training is one of those topics many parents are nervous about, perhaps even dread, or if you're like me, are just totally confused because of all the conflicting advice seen everywhere. I'm super excited for this week's guest to fill our mummy toolkits with a need to know potty training 101 chat. Lucy Gregory is the founder of Nest. As a Norlan nanny and maternity practitioner, who has worked with families and their children for over 15 years, both privately and in the community, Lucy has a wealth of knowledge and experiences, and she passionately believes that no two journeys are the same, which is why she built Nest and feels that a bespoke service should be made available. I am really looking forward to this chat with Lucy and have my notepad and pen at the ready. Welcome back to the Midwife Pip podcast, the home of expert information and real chats on all things pregnancy, birth and beyond. Remember, as a podcast listener, you can get 15% off my online courses at midwifepip.com using the code podcast15. Hi, Lucy, and welcome to the podcast. Thank you so much for coming on.
Hi, Pip. Thanks so much for having me.
And thank you for letting me sabotage your holiday. That is commitment to the potty training course.
No problem. Not a problem at all.
So Lucy, I've got so many questions for you because I am aware that I am fast approaching potty training myself. So I want to jump straight in with picking your brains, if that's okay. And one of the questions that I know myself and my mum friends at the moment are kind of pondering is there a rough age when we should think about our child being ready to potty train?
I think, Pip, to be honest, every child is so different. But generally, the age that we are sort of seeing is between around 2 years to probably around 3.5. And I think ultimately when thinking about it, you hear so many different conflicting pieces of advice and information, but ultimately the goal is for your little one to be school ready, which sounds like it's miles away, but actually that's really important, and toilet training very much comes into that. So to have that goal in mind, I think also takes the pressure off of you when you've got an 18-month-old thinking, oh, this big stage is coming up. Well, it is, but it's something that just needs to be sort of sorted by school age.
That's reassuring to know. And actually 2 to 3.5 is a really wide kind of age range, isn't it? So what are some of the signs that parents can look out for their individual child that might indicate that perhaps they are ready?
And I think just, child taking off their nappy is kind of quite a big one. You're looking that what's really, really important is looking for your child to lead it. And I think when a child leads it, the rates of success will increase. But your child taking off their nappy, perhaps telling you when they've done a wee or poo, or even just before they when they know that they need to go. Some children will put their hands in their dirty nappy, which is not the nicest thing, but that's kind of a way of them wanting to take off their nappy. And asking to sit on the toilet and kind of showing that initiative, it would be things that I would certainly be looking out for.
That is so useful to understand. I've got a story that I'm going to share in a minute because it links into one of my other questions. But before I go into that, do you need like a prep time before you start to potty train when you can kind of talk to your child about what's going to happen and kind of read books and things like that? Or do you just jump in? How do we even go about this beginning stage, Lucy?
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
So the risk of being sort of on the fence and almost being a bit vague, I think it's very different for every family. I wouldn't overkill the time that you involve the child in the preparation, because this can cause anxiety. But perhaps whether it's a couple of days before starting toilet training, whether you can start to guide them and maybe get them involved, perhaps if you're going to buy some pants. But then you have other children that wake up one day and actually just refuse to have a nappy on. So it's so different. But I think for parents, very little time is needed, and I would avoid reading a huge amount of literature, as ultimately this can be overwhelming. But I'm hoping that if you're listening to this podcast, you're going to get all the information that you need and hopefully finish listening without feeling overwhelmed.
That is definitely the A game, isn't it? So my story time, in August this year, so like 2 months ago, so just before Finley turned two, we had a new toilet delivered. So the box was downstairs in the hallway and we just opened the lid to make sure, you know, it wasn't cracked or anything like that before we took it upstairs. And one day, my husband's not at home, Finley decides to remove his nappy and mount the toilet in the hallway in its box to go for a poo. And he's proudly telling me, "Mummy, poo, 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 poo." And I'm like, oh my gosh. You know, we were not even thinking potty training. So we did have a potty. So I kind of moved him to his potty in the downstairs toilet. He quite liked it. He then stood up and did a poo next to it and was well chuffed with himself. So I was like, oh, maybe we're ready then. Like, I need to go with this. So we then dedicated the next few days to potty training and it went horribly. It was disaster, Lucy. So to start with, it was kind of okay. And he wasn't quite getting it, but he would sit on the potty and he knew what it was for. And we had a few wee's and poos in the potty and a lot more next to the potty. But then he got really stressed with it. And was asking for a nappy to be put back on. And I was like, oh, well, he's not even two yet. Like, let's just stop. And his communication's always been really good. He's been really good with speech and language. So he knew what was happening, but was like overwhelmed, stressed. So I was like, this is not great. So we stopped it. Now, I don't know if that's a good thing to do or not. That was just mother instinct on my part. So my question is, if you do start and actually it's not going smoothly, is it best to stop or do you need to kind of persevere through those hurdles?
I think if you tell me
I did it all wrong.
No, not at all. What I do want to say is that you listen to your instinct, and I think that's so important. And I think, with the risk of going off on a tangent, there's so much information out there. There's so much online. There's so many things on social media. There's so many books. There's so many conversations. And actually, sometimes that overshadows our instinct. Your instinct was that actually what you saw from Finley, the behavior that he was displaying, was that he was becoming distressed by it. I'm pleased that you feel able to have listened to your instinct, because I think there's, you know, another situation where another parent could have looked online and thought, oh, actually, I'm not quite sure what, and it almost increases that overwhelm. No, I would say it does depend what you come up against. If your child is distressed and you feel that it really isn't going well, then yes, we would recommend that you do put the nappy back on. Ultimately, you don't want to cause any more distress. So if you're seeing that your child is becoming distressed and they are asking for a nappy, then listen with them. Listen to them. This is not us. We're not battling against our children to get them toilet trained. Yes, if there's a little bump in the road and you feel like you can guide them through it, that's very different. But I think if you're seeing distress from your child or it's distressing them, then nappy back on and forget it for however long, whether it's 2 or 3 weeks, whether it's a month, whether it's 6 weeks, whether it's 6 months, depending on the age of your child, and completely ignore the topic. Remove the potty, don't mention it at all. But what you can start to do is sort of make transitions with, you know, wearing a nappy to using the toilet, which we can come on to. There's sort of some stages that I would go through. But in answer to your question, if you're feeling that your child is becoming distressed by it, we would say absolutely it's fine to stop.
I think that's reassuring to hear, not just for me, obviously, but for parents listening that feel like when they start, that's it. Actually, yeah, it's okay if you need to scale back and like you say, not allowing your instincts to be kind of overshadowed. Now, we've spoken a little bit about the conflicting information that we see everywhere. You can't avoid it, can you, as a new parent, especially in the topic of toilet training. But one of the things that I think is really confusing is pull up nappies, cotton pants, or stark naked. What is the best approach for potty training?
This week's episode is sponsored by a brand I love, iCandy. From its roots in London's fashion design and manufacturing scene, iCandy has uniquely been owned and directed in the UK by the same family for almost 90 years. Now proudly in its fourth generation, the Appels and their extended iCandy family remain completely focused on the best of British craftsmanship, designing and engineering innovative quality products. iCandy's talented British-based in-house team consistently push the boundaries of both product design and sustainability, creating a wide range of stylish, functional, and quality pushchairs, high chairs, and accessories. Everything has been thoughtfully crafted to fit seamlessly into every parent's lifestyle. From the iconic iCandy Peach, which offers double functionality on a single footprint, to the iCandy My Chair, an innovative, multifunctional high chair that transforms into a beautifully crafted piece of furniture for your child. iCandy future-proofs the life cycle of every product so that it grows with each family. So no matter where your family is at right now, iCandy has got you covered. Check out their website, iCandyWorld.com, or head to iCandyWorld UK on Instagram to find out more.
So with regards to pull-ups, like, nappies are so well made now in our society. So pull-ups are no different to nappies. They've got the same level of absorbency. So what can sort of get in the way of a child's toilet training is for them not to be able to feel that they've gone. When they wee in a nappy, they don't feel wet because of the high level of absorbency. So using a pull-up has the same effect. So I wouldn't, you know, I don't necessarily think that that's a step towards toilet training. I think there's a time and a place for pull-ups. Perhaps if your child's toilet trained and they are still wearing a nappy at night, again, I'll come on to a comment about nighttime training, but if you have a child that is in pants during the day, perhaps a pull-up is better than a nappy for bedtime because it's a bit more like pants to go on. So there's a time and a place, I think, then for pull-ups in terms of whether that's a step towards toilet training. I don't think it is. There's no difference, really. Cotton pants versus naked is again, huge conflicting advice from our experience and our opinion. We would say, we would encourage you to go towards the cotton pants route as opposed to being naked. If you were to read a book, there's one particular book out there which is quite popular, which suggests that you stay at home for a certain period of days and you have your child is naked with no pants on. You then, which is fine, and perhaps you toilet train them in that way, but then you have to then introduce pants and you have to introduce trousers to be able to go out and leave the house, which then causes confusion, because what you're then saying to your child is, we've taken a nappy off, which is, you're wearing something, to going to being naked, to them wearing something again, and that can cause confusion because they're confused that it's not a nappy. So we would encourage you to go from a nappy to pants, and get them used to that and expose them to that. And because that's ultimately it's that there's a guidance period, and that's, you're getting them used to actually pant, that's what we do, that's what we wear. So, I think just be aware that if you are reading things that are saying stay at home and not wear pants, okay, that's fine, but ultimately you've got to introduce pants at some point. So it may come a little bit sticky at that point.
That's such a good point, isn't it, actually? I hadn't thought of it in that way. So we were naked. It helped that it was August. So to be honest, he wasn't going to wear much anyway.
Yeah.
But actually, I think part of that overwhelm kind of came from the fact that, well, I'm naked and why aren't you? Do you know what I mean? He kind of, mm-hmm. we're watching him as well. So we're watching you and you're naked. And actually that was a bit unusual. So actually I wonder whether pants may have lessened that perhaps. I mean, I don't think he was ready anyway.
Mm-hmm.
But actually, yeah, when they're used to wearing similar to you and then they suddenly feel like I'm being observed and I look different to normal, that's quite unsettling, I think.
Yeah, you're right. And I guess there's a sense of vulnerability there. I think something else to add is to, rather than feeling you've got to go from nappies straight to pants, a step in between that is to put a piece of folded kitchen roll inside their nappy, which then means that they feel when they've, that their nappy is wet as opposed to that nappy absorbing their urine. So that kind of helps, because they're a bit like, I don't want to wee in my nappy, therefore let's go to the potty, let's go to the toilet. So that kind of is quite a nice step, in between. And I think, people have asked me before, Pip, in terms of what's better, toilet or potty. I think it's very individual to each family. Some families don't have a downstairs loo, it's just upstairs. So actually, if it's when you're toilet training, it's quite hard to be up and down the stairs all the time. But equally, role modeling for children is so important, and they see us on the loo. So it's, I think it's depending on your family circumstances and what your house is like, or what home is like for you. But to also bear that in mind, that if you're finding that they're not distressed, but it's just not quite going how you thought it might, is it because actually they're not being role modeled how to use a potty? They're role modeling is using a toilet, using the loo. So can we try and make it more like in line with what they're seeing, which goes to what you said about, actually being naked and being exposed. Well, that's not what they're seeing. So it's just, I think with any advice that we give, it's throwing out suggestions with the hope that you can pick and choose and think, actually that works for us. And then to sort of be able to move that forward.
Yeah, definitely. The other thing, Lucy, I wanted to ask you was, how long should potty training take?
Yeah, that's a good question.
This is probably your equivalent of when people say to me, how long will I be in labour, isn't it?
Yeah, I think it is. It does feel a bit like one of those questions. There is no set time. I think if you're following your child's lead and your child has, taken off their nappy or is leading it, they're showing that they're ready. So it should click by saying that it can still take 2 to 4 weeks. It could take a few days, but for you to feel confident together, and it is a process where you know it's together. Yes, your child could not want their nappy on, but actually you need to feel comfortable with being able to take them out and knowing how the length of time, knowing how much you can push it before you need to take them to the toilet. So I would sort of allow 2 to 3 weeks for you to all feel confident and to sort of to get through that process together. And that's involving, you know, an earlier setting, childcare, childminder, you know, nursery, those sorts of things, is actually also having them part of it and getting into that new routine. So yeah, I think it's not, so this stay at home for 3 or 4 days is fine as a starting point, but in terms of managing expectations, there are still different situations, you know, following that. So yeah, but it shouldn't be a long drawn out traumatic process. And if it is, then please shout, because that's not what we want it to be like.
Yeah, but for anybody involved, it probably just, I absolutely guess, the more stressful it becomes, the more delayed everything is, isn't it? Because no one functions well in that kind of environment.
Absolutely right.
So let's say, right, we have a child that's ready, whatever that looks like, whatever that feels like. What on earth do you do on the first day or two of potty training?
So I think it's observing your little one and guiding them to the potty or toilet when you feel that they need to go. So it's like observing them, not feeling that, you know, you're saying about you're watching Finley, and it's like you probably felt like you were watching him. I'm sure he didn't feel that he was being watched, but that level of observation where you're just seeing like the levels of behavior, and some children, their behavior deteriorates when they need to go to the toilet. So just observing those kind of signs, a bit like you look for sleep cues, not too dissimilar for that. So just watching those sorts of behaviors and trying to then at that point, taking them to the toilet. So removing the question of, do you need to go or shall we go? It's let's go and try. And then sitting them onto the loo or the potty and chatting with them about, I don't know, the puzzle they were doing or the colouring that they were doing. What colour crayon are you going to use next? So avoid keeping onto them and avoid sort of putting them under or making sure they're not feeling under pressure. The more we keep on, the more we question, the more they'll feel pressured, which could then put them off and increase anxiety. But just to sort of monitor that, it may be that your child actually goes or needs to go to the loo less frequently than you thought. They may have much better bladder control. I think coming into winter now, it may be that their fluid intake is slightly less. Therefore, they may, you know, they obviously still need to be having good fluid intake and good output. But actually, if it's, you know, if we're in the height of summer, it's obviously going to be slightly different. If this is a second, third child and you're needing to go out of the house for school runs, try to avoid putting a nappy back on. So rather than putting the nappy back on, take your child to the loo before you go out, and then as soon as you get back in. So I think when you initiate that toilet training or potty training step, is to try and be consistent with, actually today we're not going to have a nappy on. If you've got a child that's distressed, that's slightly different. But if you've got a child that's actually doing quite well, try and avoid the chopping and changing between pants and a nappy. Try and say, do you know what, we're going to go with the pants today. And actually the worst that can happen is you've got washing to do. And you know, if they have an accident, then never mind, don't worry, like no pressure about it. So that's kind of, you know, in terms of attitudes and things, lots of praise, try not to have high expectations. So just try and go with it as much as you can, offer reassurance. And again, try not to react if accidents do happen, because it is highly likely that you will get some accidents in these first few days. And I, again, easier said than done, but try and keep calm and avoid showing your child that you may be feeling anxious, which is so easy to say, but they will pick up on it. But a little top tip from us. So if you are needing encouragement to get them onto the toilet, the magic trick is to get them to blow bubbles whilst they're on the toilet. So children are not able to hold on and blow. So if you're feeling like you need a little push in the right direction, this is definitely a good one to have up your sleeve. Try and keep the bubbles to the toilet and see how your child gets on, perhaps before introducing them. So you've got that as a backup plan. If you're kind of facing a little bit of a hurdle and you're just feeling like you need to get over that, then the bubbles can come out. But I think in terms of these first couple of days, try and reduce your plans, reduce your expectations, maybe a couple of days at home, just keeping it all quite calm and, you know, just try and sort of go with it, really.
That is good advice. And what child doesn't like bubbles, hey? I mean, that's a motivation. And thinking about motivation, we see a lot about potty training and rewards, presents, sticker charts, all of that. Is that necessary? Does it help in your experience?
I'm on the fence in general about reward charts and star charts. For some children, it really works. They really need that motivation. But for other children, I think they can create anxiety, and sort of have a bit of a back, you know, a sort of backwards effect. If you've got, you know, if you do so many of this, then there's a reward at the end, and they have an accident for whatever the reason, it's kind of up in black and white that actually they failed. So I think if you're looking for wanting that encouragement and needing that, maybe that little bit of motivation, stickers, but stickers straight onto the t-shirt or straight onto the jumper. So it's that instant reward. You've done a wee on the potty, you've done a wee on the toilet, here's a reward. If your child doesn't like stickers, it may be that a high five is enough for them. It may be that, right, let's go and choose your favourite song, and then we're going to have a little like kitchen dance, and then that's the reward. I think each child sort of is motivated by different things. Children that love stickers, that's brilliant, that's easy. Sheet of stickers in the loo, in the downstairs loo, you know, right, which sticker would you like? Brilliant, let's go, job done. But in terms of star charts, I don't think I'm a massive fan. And that goes across the board with all aspects of, you know, what you might use a star chart for. I think, I'm not 100% sold on them, Pip.
No, it's great. It's great to get that perspective. And actually we used a sticker chart, and the sticker chart had like wee, poo, sitting on the potty, washing your hands. So if, you know, you did all four, sticker for all four, whatever. So I thought that sounded great. Finley likes stickers. What actually happened was he then twigged on that actually if I do one of these things, I get a sticker on my chart, which is really great fun. So he would walk into the toilet, go bye-bye poo-poo at the toilet and wash his hands because he loves soaking our downstairs toilet by turning the tap on full blast and then expect a sticker. And I was like, this is not working. So I will definitely next time ditch this beautiful rocket chart that we've got and put them on his t-shirt.
Yeah.
Oh, they're so clever. What about nighttime then? So do you do that at the same time? Does that come later? Do they go back to a nappy at nighttime? What does that look like, Lucy?
So don't worry about nighttime training. Initially, when you start, keep nighttime the same. Nappy for nighttime. You might want to relabel it as bedtime pants or nighttime something else, so that they're not feeling that they're going back into a nappy. But ultimately, nighttime training is a separate thing. And I think when you're tackling or when you're seeing toilet training approaching you as a bit of a developmental stage, it can feel so overwhelming. Split it into two things, have toilet training and nighttime training. So with nighttime training, it's a hormone that actually has to kick in. So it may even be a completely separate process a few months after you've successfully toilet trained. And you may have a child that's really, really well trained during the day and actually still needing a nappy at night, and that's okay. Signs to look out for to know your child is ready to go through the night would be that they're waking up consistently every morning with a dry nappy. Or they are waking up in the night and telling you that they need to go. But the key, the first initial thing is that they wake up every morning with a dry nappy, because that then shows that they've got that bladder control, and that's what you're looking for. It's not a behavior thing. This is a hormone. Just look at it as two separate things, but please don't stress that because you've got a child that's really successfully toilet trained and perhaps has been even for a year and there's no sign, that's okay. If you get to a point where your child has started school and perhaps there's still no signs, then I would definitely look, if your child's over the age of five, you can then speak to your GP, and then they may refer you to a continence clinic just for a bit of support with that. But, you know, that's nothing to worry about at all. It's not that uncommon.
That's reassuring, because it kind of halves the pressure, doesn't it? You've only got to deal with the daytime for now. Quite nice, I think. It takes away a bit of that nighttime pressure, because especially if you've got to a stage where your child sleeps well at night, the last thing you want to consider is disrupting that.
Yeah, you're nice right.
Park that.
It is. And I think, you know, we're all here for reducing the pressure and keeping everything calm and reducing overwhelm. There's so much pressure and so many overwhelming things in our day-to-day life that we don't want this to be part of that.
Yeah, you are not wrong. That is so true. What about for those parents then, that their child just doesn't like sitting on the potty to pee or poo? And I know you mentioned actually maybe trying the toilet as an alternative, but any other tips around navigating that? Because I imagine that must feel like you're kind of falling off the hurdle before you've started, really.
Yeah, I think almost to rewind before answering that question, Pip, in terms of, I mentioned earlier about having stages of toilet training, and we've worked with hundreds of families specifically for toilet training and have found that there's a pattern which seems to really work and have success, is to break it down even further into different stages of toilet training. And initially, I would start with trying to change your little one's nappy in the bathroom or toilet for nearly every nappy change. I realize that that's not always practical, but what you're trying to do is just change the association that wheeze and poos happen in the bathroom, in the loo. So trying to change that nappy in the bathroom, in the loo. When they do a poo in their nappy, where possible, to put that poo down the loo, flush the toilet together, wash hands together. Trying to wash hands after every nappy change. And what you're doing in that process is indirectly, without even saying anything, is you're allowing your little one to see that that's actually where this all happens. My poos go down the loo, we flush them together, we wash hands together. You're exposing them to all of that before you're even anywhere near, you know, perhaps removing their nappy. So if you've got a child, the way you started toilet training, and actually it's really quite distressing, park it, leave it for a few weeks, and then once they've settled, then start this sort of stage of nappy in the bathroom, hands together, poo down the loo, and then subtly make that transition. So what sort of, that was a bit of a rounded way of answering the question, but I think, you know, once you've got to a settled stage of that, if your child then wants to sit on the loo, sit on the potty, maybe before getting in the bath, before bedtime, it's really gradual steps. So I'd hope that you wouldn't initially start with a child that doesn't want to sit on the potty or sit on the toilet. And if you do, then just take a couple of steps back. Going back to that being ready for school, actually you've got quite a stretch of time, and this doesn't need to be distressing. Like, it really doesn't. And I think if you're seeing that your child is distressed, you are the best person to decide whether you can gently encourage the toilet or if you should leave it for a period of time. But role modeling is so important on so many different levels for children and partly for adults as well. You know, we go into a new workplace, you kind of observe what everyone else is doing, you know, where you make coffee, where you, that's no different for children. They're observing all the time and learning all the time from us. You know, to add to the pressure, you're being watched the whole time.
Literally, creating mini versions
literally
of you.
Yeah, and even when you're on the toilet. So I think just exposing them to that, and kind of trying to put in the groundwork before, even before the nappy comes off.
That's such a good point, isn't it? We forget how powerful our influence is. And I love that your new office went straight to where people make the coffee. That is like a girl after my own heart. Don't care what you're doing, but where's the coffee?
Where's the coffee? Yeah, exactly.
Priorities are an important thing.
Yeah.
Lucy, everyone that comes on the podcast, I ask for 3 top tips. And are you giving us like so many top tips? This is probably going to be a challenge to condense, and it's fine if they're repetitive. But can you share with us your 3 top tips to potty training success?
Okay, here we go. So I would say allow your child to take the lead. Keep everything as calm as possible with little pressure, which I appreciate is easier said than done. But lots of pressure equals anxiety for all of you. And that's obviously what we're trying to avoid. And have a secret little bubble stash just in case.
I love that. Super helpful, super practical. If you feel like you need a bit of Lucy and Nest in your life to help you navigate aspects of parenting, then do head to the episode description where you'll find the link so you can find out more of what Nest does and how they can support you. Thank you so much, Lucy. I will let you get back to your holiday.
Thanks so much for having me, Pip.
Before you head off, I just need to tell you something. 68% of you who listen to my podcast have not hit the subscribe button. So can you do me a favor? If you have ever enjoyed listening, and hit subscribe now. It makes a huge difference and helps me to keep bringing you episodes. The bigger the podcast, the bigger the guests, and the more women we can reach and help. Thank you for subscribing, and I look forward to chatting again soon.
Hi, my name is Kay Adams, and to be honest, I'm not so good with the aging process, so I enlisted my old chum, the filter-free Cara McKenzie, to advise.
Could you imagine being a porn star? The room would need to be really hot for me to strip off.
To be honest, she's not much help, but she is rather amusing. And along with some great guests, Joe Brand, Andy Oliver, Anton Dubek, Ruth Langsford, and Craig Revel Horwood, darling, we are learning how to be 60. Listen wherever you get your podcasts.